This is New York's Asset Protection Roundtable with Ted Alatsis of Alatsis Law Firm. Our mission at Alatsis Law Firm is to assist you with the three pillars of protection: preserving your assets, providing you help, and protecting your future.
Well, hello and welcome in to New York's Asset Protection Roundtable, a three pillars of protection program. I'm Ben George, joined as always by Ted Alatsis, attorney and counselor at law over at the Alatsis Law Firm in Brooklyn, New York. You can find him online at alatsislawfirm.com. Ted, what's going on today?
First day of spring, Ben. So it's we're enjoying some pleasant weather for a change. So looking forward to a nice spring.
I'm with you as well. Do you prefer spring or fall more?
I prefer spring. Spring is a much more optimistic time, even though the weather is kind of similar. But at least there's optimism. There's hope. Whereas the fall, it's just kind of like, oh gosh, the winter's coming. It's not. So spring is certainly a better for me. I at least I enjoy it more.
Yeah, and baseball season cranking up as well, which is never a bad thing in New
absolutely.
York.
Absolutely.
Well, today I wanted to talk to you and spend some time on estate planning for younger folks. Your child just turned 18. Now their school and doctor won't talk to me. You probably read the headline. So you probably are wondering what exactly we want to talk to. So I know, Ted, everybody thinks estate planning is for people that are getting older, right? That are in retirement or, are really needing to get their affairs in order. But there are things you can be doing much earlier in life, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we've talked about this before in that, estate planning isn't necessarily just for old people or rich people, right? So, estate planning is something that we should be thinking about kind of all the time, right? To one form or another.
So in this episode, we're going to discuss a common issue that parents face once their child turns 18. Suddenly their doctor and their school won't talk to them anymore. And this is because legally, once a child becomes an adult, their privacy rights are protected and healthcare providers and educational institutions are not allowed to share information about their adult patient student without their explicit consent. So we want to talk about the importance of young adults having these basic legal documents to help ensure that parents stay informed about their child's medical and financial decisions. And it can also give young adults peace of mind knowing that their wishes will be respected in the event they become incapacitated. So as we get into this, Ted, is this something that you deal with a lot? I mean, are a lot of people you're working with coming in when their children turn 18, getting ready to go off to college? It's a busy time, but are they typically thinking about this?
So they're typically not, and we're not running into this situation as often as you would think, although we are running into it more frequently than we have been. It's not something people think about generally, and I think one of the reasons for that is people just don't want to they associate estate planning with death,
right?
And so they may not that barrier may be what's keeping them from thinking about it.
All right, so I want to go through four basic legal documents that young adults will at least need, and I want you to help us understand why these are so important and how to take care of this. So first off, the healthcare power of attorney.
Yeah, the healthcare power of attorney, or healthcare proxy, or healthcare directive. That's those terms are all kind of used interchangeably. It's an essential document of any estate plan, and essentially, a healthcare power of attorney or healthcare proxy is a document in which the person who is the principal, the person who's giving the authority, gives their authority to someone else to communicate with doctors with regards to medical decisions that may need to be made when that person is incapable of doing that. So it's an essential tool. And in a context of someone being over the age of 18, should they have that situation occur to them, some sort of tragic event that forces them into the hospital, if there isn't that type of document, then there's sort of a gray area as to who could make decisions for that particular individual.
So when somebody prepares for this, is there a checklist to go off of, or is this something where you would literally hand over a document and then check a couple boxes of yes, no, or name somebody, or should somebody be giving this a lot of thought ahead of time?
So it's some sort of combination of all three, right? So when we sit down with a client, we have a conversation about what it is specifically that they're willing to authorize an agent to do. Some people are very specific with what that is, and that could include specific instructions with regards to organ donation, things of that nature, or they are much more broad and trust whoever their agent is going to be to make all the decisions, whatever those would be. We call that the God power, to substitute their own judgment for the agent's or the principal's judgment, I should say. So it really depends on the individual client. So when we sit down with a prospective client to discuss that, we kind of go over what specifically they're looking to do with the document, what their overall goal and objective is, and you know, then we tailor the document accordingly.
All right, so that's the healthcare power of attorney. Part of that that plays into that healthcare POA is a living will declaration. Is this a completely separate document altogether, or is this just part of that healthcare power of attorney?
So generally, it is a separate document. Some healthcare proxies can include some language that include end-of-life directives, which is what a living will essentially would be. And so depending on how the document is formulated, but the living will is really a much more specific circumstance. And that is a circumstance in which the person has or is in a situation where the doctors have abandoned all hope of recovery and have communicated that the only way that the patient can continue to exist is by way of some sort of extraordinary life-sustaining measures, life support, things like that. And the living will is a declaration that basically says, in that circumstance, these are the things that I want to be administered, essentially either do not resuscitate in a certain circumstance, and then you can be very specific with regards to, you know, what those circumstances would be.
So a couple documents here is we're talking about some things a young adult might need, at least these basic legal documents, now that they have become an adult. The next one is a financial or property power of attorney. And I think you might hear this and go, well, most 18-year-olds aren't going to have a whole lot of stuff to worry about, right, Ted? So how does this, where does this play in?
So that's probably true. And certainly, you know, so they would be disinclined to think that they actually need it. But, you know, let's say the child's in a situation where they need to make an application, you know, their FAFSA form or something of that nature. If the parent doesn't necessarily have the power of attorney to do that, and the child is in a situation where they can't, you know, they're either incapable of doing the documents because they're not around, or they're incapacitated, or some other incident occurs that prevents them from doing it in a timely fashion, then the financial power of attorney would be able to do that for them. Additionally, it can give the authority to that person to be able to communicate with the school regarding financial aid applications, regarding student loans, regarding their grades and registrations, etc., or any other banking transactions that may need to be conducted in the event that the principal is unable to do that for themselves for whatever reason.
All right, so let's close out with maybe the one that's most important, and that's the HIPAA authorization. Why is this one so important, Ted?
Yeah, so HIPAA authorization, I mean, first of all, there's a lot of different reasons why that is. So, you know, many times, first of all, you know, an 18-year-old who's at college is usually covered by the health insurance of their parents. And so in order to, you know, gain those medical records that may be necessary, a HIPAA authorization may be important in order to do, you know, to do certain things with regards to, you know, any kind of medical coverages or any kind of medical applications or applications for coverage for treatment of certain conditions. So that's an important aspect. It also goes back to, you know, it relates back to the healthcare proxy and the living will. If a, you know, child or, you know, someone who's over the age of 18 is in a situation where they're incapable of expressing their own medical decisions, and, you know, the agent needs to get a little bit more information about the child's condition so that they can make an informed decision and want to get, say, a second opinion or something like that, they can't access those records unless they have a HIPAA authorization to get those records and then get them to, a second opinion. So, the HIPAA authorization it's sort of the companion document to the healthcare power of attorney, but an essential document for sure.
Well, I'm guessing, and I'm not going to just assume anything, Ted, but I'm guessing there's no 18-year-olds that are listening to our podcast, more than likely. So for anyone that, I guess, knows someone that's turning that age or is already 18, 19, even, you know, in the early 20s, whatever it is, but younger, young adult, maybe off to college, how do you point them in this direction? Is it as simple as, hey, go online, you can find this stuff online, or do they need to sit down with an attorney to work through this stuff?
Well, I mean, certainly, you know, our first instinct would be to say that they should sit down with an attorney and do this stuff. But, you know, kids these days, and I refer to anyone over the age of 18 who's not someone of my age as a kid. I mean, I have, you know, as a father of a, you know, 20-year-old in college, you know, I still think of her as a kid, but she's, you know, she's pretty mature. What I, you know, recommend, if, you know, the kids today are very, very technologically savvy, very, very capable of doing a lot of these things on their own. And so, you know, they can simply go to our website and, you know, visit our DIY documents. And, you know, a lot of these, you know, these documents are available for them to fill them out on their own and kind of self-guided with our supervision. But, you know, otherwise, if they feel you know, inclined to come in. We certainly, you know, encourage that communication so that they get a better handle of what it is that they're looking to do and how to do it.
That is a great reminder. Log on. It's alatsislawfirm.com. Along the top, the menu bar there, you'll see DIY documents. As Ted was referencing, that'll take you kind of through it. And the best part is you kind of have that guidance from Ted and his team if you are someone that likes to do things themselves. But if you have questions and want to call, want to kind of start that conversation, the best way to do that is to call 718-233-2903. All right, Ted, anything else to add to this before we close out?
I think it's just important to you know, emphasize that your age should not be the barrier to, you know, considering proper estate planning. You know, it doesn't have to be something that is complex and intensive. It is something that, however, if you do not do, you could create bigger problems for yourself and your family. So, you know, definitely consider the things that you can do to alleviate that stress for your family.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, great final thought, Ted. Thanks for that. If you have questions, again, 718-233-2903. For Ted Alatsis over at the Alatsis Law Firm, I am Ben George. Thanks for listening to New York's Asset Protection Roundtable, a Three Pillars of Protection program.
Information is for illustrative purposes only and does not constitute tax, investment, or legal advice. Always consult with a qualified investment, legal, or tax professional before taking any action.